I thought it was interesting in the children's talk when I gave the children, I hadn't thought about this, of course, the seeds, the mustard seeds, they kept losing them. And that is really significant. God has something to say to us through this. Is he gives us precious things which we can easily lose, which we can get caught up in all the busyness of life and issues, and we lose the very precious thing that we need. And that is connected with these parables that Jesus is sharing. You know, they're very too small, only four or five verses we read from Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is again sharing with the crowd of people. He's actually gone out into a boat, so he gets the amphitheatre effect of the water. It's a good place to be able to share with people on the shoreline. And he's speaking to a crowd. And as it says earlier in this chapter, 13, he talked to the crowds in parables so that they wouldn't understand. What? That seems crazy. He was sowing a seed. He wanted them to actually take it and plant it and come to him for explanation. The disciples did that and they get the explanation. And that's true for all of us. We can hear God's word, but unless we take hold of it and actually bring it to our Lord Jesus and ask for his counsel personally to us, we won't understand. We won't understand because we need him. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We need him. Now, of course, the theme of Matthew's gospel is the kingdom of heaven. And as we've said a number of times, Matthew has grasped this because of who he is, really. He's the tax collector, caught up in all of the affairs of this world, absolutely ruled by worldly thoughts and desires, and he meets Jesus and he forsakes all of what he had before for something else. And it's the kingdom of heaven. He has grasped hold of another kingdom. And of course he records right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he says this, Jesus began to speak, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. They're the first words that Matthew records Jesus preaching. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And all through his gospel, he's contrasting the kingdom of this world with the kingdom of heaven. Repent means turn around 180 degrees. Turn your back on the kingdom of this world and embrace a new kingdom operating on completely different principles. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the poor in spirit. The world will not tell you that. Blessed are you when you feel your need deeply. The world will not tell you that. You are blessed when you feel this. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. There's another kingdom. As I shared with the little children, the story of Edna Coghill, the seven-year-old girl who prayed for her mother. She embraced her aunt's teaching about another kingdom. There was a living God who listened to your prayers. And she prayed every day for 10 days. And then a woman living way away from where she was, heard God speak to her and say, give your carer, who was Edna's aunt, this money for her sister. The exact amount that Edna had been praying for. There is another kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. It's real. And Jesus is calling people to repent of attachment and engagement and understanding of the worldly kingdom for the kingdom he's introducing into the world. And this is what Matthew is emphasizing. It was so precious to him. Once he became part of this kingdom, he wanted us, as we read his gospel, to know the reality of the kingdom of heaven. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, he's the one that records Jesus saying, "You cannot serve two masters." And he's talking about money and God. And really, our world is more and more increasingly ruled by the love of money. As soon as, you know, the price of petrol went up, everybody's panicking. Why? God will provide all our needs. I mean, I was feeling it too. I was filling up my cup. What are you doing, Michael? Just trust your Heavenly Father. We're so easily ruled by other influences, aren't we? But Matthew has discovered the wonder of the kingdom of heaven. And of course, chapter 13 is all parables about the kingdom of heaven. And these two very small parables are actually very significant. Matthew is desperate to get this message across to us. That's his heart. So he records this parable, which we had with the children. The parable Jesus gives us this morning is the story of a mustard seed. Now, as I showed the children, there are different mustard seeds, aren't there? There are mustard seeds that grow little plants that are annuals that die after a year, and there are mustard plants that are perennials that grow into trees. And you think, now, which one was he talking about? Well, he was talking about one that grew into a tree. But it still starts with a tiny seed, referring to a mustard tree seed, extremely small seed, but grows to become a large tree that can provide shelter and protection for the birds. It's true. Anything that we engage with that is truly of the kingdom of heaven, and we take it as Jesus is going to talk about, because he says a man took the seed, so it was available for him to take. And the kingdom of heaven this morning is available for you to take. You can take it and you can plant it. Quite a lot of people take it and they put it on the shelf. And, "Oh, I've got the kingdom of heaven. It's..." How many Bibles have you got in your house? "Oh, I've got lots." Are you planting it? Are you applying it in your personal circumstances? Are you doing what it says there in the kingdom of heaven's principles? But this man takes this tiny little seed and plants it. Now, there are lots of illustrations of this we can think of. And I just think about Edna Coghill's aunt, who told her about Jesus. Her mother didn't know God, didn't know Jesus, but her aunt told this little girl about Jesus. So the aunt had taken the seed and was planting it in a little girl. And that seed has produced a testimony. Remember, Edna shared that testimony on the 9th of April 1989 in that building. She shared it the first time in her life at 83 years old. She told that story publicly, testified to Jesus and his character, said to the children at the end, "Now, children, things have not changed. Jesus is the same today as he was when I was a little girl of 7. Always remember to have Jesus as your friend, as he's been my friend." She goes back to her seat and dies in front of us. Was that a message? Has that become a tree? Where people are, you know, we heard that story and it's become a tree. You can share it with other people. But that's just one seed in one person's life. When we take hold of the kingdom of heaven, a little seed, and put it into practice, amazing things happen. You know, the story I started with in the service today, Eric Little, the sprinter, training for the 100-meter race in the Paris Olympics, and then finds out that his heat is on a Sunday, and he's wrestling with his devotion to God, and he says, no, I'm not going to run. And they ridicule him. The people were saying, but you give more glory to God if you win the 100 metres. And then, of course, he's offered to run a race, the 400 metres, which he wins in world record time and wins the gold medal. And then, of course, he dies as a missionary in China. And it's all forgotten. Until a Hollywood director, reading through the annals of Olympic Games, discovers this story and says, we need to tell the world about this. You see, just a little seed sown in Eric Liddell's heart about running in a race and putting God first, honouring the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. That one seed has become a vast tree that is ministering to all of us and many others. This is the nature of the kingdom of God. And God acted like this himself. Just think of God. He brings the kingdom of heaven into the world. How does he do it? How did God introduce the kingdom of heaven into this world? A baby. A tiny little seed, actually, into the womb of a mother called Mary, who actually was presented with the offer of this calling from God to receive the seed of the Holy Spirit into her body, to form a child, tiny little seed from the Father in heaven. And a little baby is born as a result of her taking the seed and planting it. And what happened? A little baby. How is that going to influence the world? You see, one of the great tragedies of our age is the denial and rejection by the world of the preciousness of motherhood. Real motherhood. Sowing the seed in the heart of a child, like Edna's aunt did, into the heart of her niece. The world is rejecting this. It's pushing it away. Because it's too small, it's too insignificant, it's not glamorous enough, it doesn't look any good. But it's a seed. Actually, it's the leaven, because as we're going to see, Jesus, very interestingly, in two small parables, refers to a man in the first one, takes a seed, and a woman in the second one. This kingdom is for men and for women. It's for all of us. And it's a tiny little seed, or it's leaven, a tiny little bit of leaven. And the leaven is hidden in the dough. It's like a mum having their children around them, just you know, sowing a bit of leaven into the dough. Just putting it there, just reading a Bible story, just praying with the children. You know, Susanna Wesley did this with her children. And what impact did that have on the world? What vision has that given to the world? This is a woman simply taking the word of God and sowing it day by day, week by week, into the hearts of her children. Look at the impact that this has had on the world. And Jesus is making this point. The things of the kingdom of heaven, they don't look spectacular. They do not look spectacular. At first, they look tiny. In fact, you could lose them, just like the kids were losing them. They're seemingly insignificant. But you take it genuinely and put it in the ground, if it's a seed, or the leaven in the dough, and you will see what will happen. You will see what will take place. You know, the story of South Korea is a very interesting story for Presbyterians. In the mid-1800s, South Korea was an oppressive, pagan, really evil place. And missionaries from the United States and Australia took the gospel to Korea. The simple message that we sang with the children, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. They took this simple message to South Korea. At that time, the Roman Catholics had a few thousand followers in South Korea. They were persecuted, actually. So in 1880, missionaries took a seed to South Korea. Today, there are 8.6 million Protestant Christians in South Korea. And they are sending more missionaries into the world, even eclipsing the United States. To tell the simple message, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The kingdom of heaven doesn't seem very significant. It doesn't look very spectacular. You know, the Bible tells us a very interesting thing, and I say this to young pastors as they go into ministry in the Together for Clayton group. They ask me, what advice do you give about ministry? I say this, 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 11 will tell you how to live your life. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 11. Aspire to live quietly, minding your own affairs. Oh dear, how many people do not do this? They get engaged in the affairs of all sorts of things, but not their own affairs. If God has given you children, I remember when we had five children. I was talking to a man at the wedding yesterday about things that he did when he had children. And he stopped doing other things to attend to his own affairs. I said, bless you. Bless you. So easily we get caught up in the glamour the world presents to us of doing wonderful things. And we neglect what God has actually purposed us to do, to aspire, to live quietly, minding your own affairs, working with your hands, sowing the seed of his kingdom in the hearts of those he's entrusted to you, and you will see what will happen after you get to heaven. I remember Kerry was reminding me yesterday when we came here, God gave us a story of a man who went to South America, and we were at a wedding yesterday with some South Americans, and a lovely conversation with some of them. This man went to South America with the gospel in his heart. He for 40 years, he preached, he shared, he served the people, he gave his life to this calling, and he died there, and no one apparently was converted. Oh, but the world says we're looking for numbers. God's not looking for numbers. He's not looking for outward things. He's looking for faithful grasping of the seed of his kingdom and planting it in the space where God has placed you to be. It could be your workplace. It could be your school. It could be the church where you've been assigned. It could be, instead of going off after every possible thing, just attend to the thing God has given you. Well, this man served faithfully in God's calling, and the missionaries, he died. Nothing apparently happened. The missionary societies thought, oh, maybe it's an unfruitful field and we shouldn't send anyone there. It's too hard. Finally, they prayed and they felt, no, they would send another man. They sent another man. In the first year, thousands of people came to Jesus. Are you willing to be the one who takes the seed and sows it in the ground? That's what God said to us when we came here. Are you willing? If nothing happens, are you willing just to take my seed and sow it in the ground? You know, the interesting thing I think too about this is that we've been looking at Ephesus in our Bible study on Wednesday, and when Paul went to Ephesus, he found disciples there. And those disciples were seeking to follow Jesus, but they didn't know the Holy Spirit. That was just like the company we came to here when we came to this church. People had never even... One lady said to us, we haven't even heard about the Holy Spirit. Well, Paul taught the people there about the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit in Ephesus, the seed, they planted it in their hearts, and what happened? Wow, it grew up to be a grubby tree. In fact, it was threatening the world's kingdom, and a riot took place. And this is what happens when the things of the kingdom of God are actually truly sown in the heart. They will produce a tree. It may happen quickly. It may happen like the South American situation. It may take a significant period of time. But they will produce things in the kingdom. As I said earlier, it's really interesting. Two very short parables. Let me read them to you again. This is Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants, becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make their nests in its branches. And then he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman... Notice he's very clear here. First a man, then a woman. Took. And she hid. She hid, it says, this leaven in three measures of flour. She hid it. I think that's a beautiful picture of what it's like when you're raising children. You are hiding this leaven in this child. We're going to talk about that in our church membership classes today, about children. And then it says, and until it was all leavened, until this kingdom had had its full effect in the heart of those little ones. So how do we apply this to ourselves? We are so easily ruled by the thinking of the world. And Jesus is directly challenging our thinking in terms of worldly things. Okay, the money runs out in your home. Is that a good thing? You've run out of money. Is that a good thing? No, it's a great thing. You see, it's a great thing. Because a testimony can come forth like Edna's. Yeah, our thinking is so ruled by the world. Our money was running out last year, wasn't it? As a church. But we've got a testimony of God. I'm surprised we're not more excited about it. Sometimes I think, look at people, $110,000 check came to the, my daughter gave me this, I opened it, I just broke down in tears. This is our God. We come and worship him every Sunday here. He is the living God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those whose money runs out. You see, the thinking of the world is so corrupting us. I talked to a young man yesterday about having a family, and he said, oh, I can't afford, I haven't got enough money. He's got a full-time job and everything else. You know, I said, oh my God, I said, please don't be ruled by money, having a family. Don't not be ruled. I told him, we went backwards. We went from having money to having nothing, and we had five of them. And then we were running around praying constantly, Lord, help. See, the thinking of the world wants to rule us, but Jesus is telling us the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's tiny. It's completely different to the world. It's tiny. It doesn't look very significant, but it is powerful. If you take it and plant it, if you actually apply it to your life. Eric Liddell's testimony that I've shared with you. Edna's testimony. Oh, we could go on with many, many testimonies of people. So how do we apply this? We've got to repent of thinking the way the world thinks, and we've got to embrace thinking the way God thinks. You know, when it's tough and it's you're going through a hard time, what does God tell you to do? Give thanks. That's what he says, give thanks. That's not what the world tells you to do. I'll never forget a cricket match with this young man back here giving thanks. God does amazing things when you do what he says. Taking the seed and planting it in your own field. Your field, not someone else's field, just plant it in your field where you're placed. My wife, plant the seed in my wife, my children, my workplace, my neighbourhood, my school, my church, my community, not somebody else's. We need to repent, take hold of the seed of the kingdom of heaven, which is the word of God. You know, it's the truth in his word. If we take it and plant it and live by it, and then we plant it in other people's lives. We heard a few weeks ago the story of Mr. Gennor, you know, the lovely Baptist elderly fellow in Sydney, you know, who went out and prayed after he came to know Jesus. He wanted 10 people a day to know. He would pass the message on to them. So he jumps out there on George Street with a little tract. If you die tonight, are you going to heaven? Please read this. He's just sowing the seed in his little spot. And what happens? Just before he dies, this man comes and tells him how many hundreds of thousands of people have been blessed as a result of this. He didn't even know of any. The kingdom of heaven is like a tiny little seed. It's actually the truth that we sang with the children. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I'd love you to come with us when we go to nursing homes and people who have dementia, serious dementia, and real difficulty in communicating with their staff. And we start singing this, and they start singing, and the staff are looking at these people singing this. So whoever sowed that seed in their heart, how precious is it? It's even speaking to the staff member who's observing this taking place. Are we willing to sow our seed and let God do the watering? He doesn't talk about anything. He planted his seed. Of course, there's no water. It's not going to grow. The man who went to South America planted his seed and there was a drought for 40 years. But when the Holy Spirit came, whoosh, up came this amazing crop. Mm-hmm. So what hinders us from planting the seed or hiding the leaven? It's thinking the way the world thinks. That's what hinders us. We need to take hold of exactly what God says, the principles of his kingdom, and live according to what he tells us. And we will see what will happen. God will produce a tree with branches that many souls will find comfort and protection in. For you will have testimonies, I will have testimonies, just like Eric Liddell, just like Edna Coghill, and like many of you have shared with me in this congregation. We will have stories of the kingdom of heaven that will cause others to come in. But not only that, it will produce in us the fruit of his kingdom. What is that? Love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, self-control. And people will see it in us. This tree that's growing. I want what you've got. Do you remember Corrie ten Boom when she was on that plane? In the midst of a storm and everybody's panicking and it suddenly drops and it looks like it's going to crash and everybody's... And God says to her, well, she wants to get up and share the gospel. And God says, no, 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 you just sit here quietly. She just sat there. The pilot managed to steady the aircraft and it lands. And a man comes out of it, takes hold of God. I want what you've got. I saw you. That's because the seed of the kingdom was in her heart. And other people could recognize the reality of that kingdom in her life. Let that be our testimony too. Take the seed and plant it in your heart. Take the leaven, hide it. Other people don't have to see you hide it in your heart. It will cause the whole of you to be leavened. And you will be the most beautiful loaf of bread coming out of that oven. Of course, in the oven there's a fire, remember. Let's pray.